and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins unto God our Father and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain.
For the Lord our God is holy.
The Lord reigns, let the peoples tremble.
He sits enthroned upon the cherubim. Let the earth quake.
The Lord is great in Zion.
He is exalted over all the peoples.
Let them praise your great and awesome name.
Holy is he.
The king in his might loves justice.
You have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob.
Exalt the Lord our God. Worship at his footstool.
Holy is he.
God on high.
King,
Let us pray. O God, in the glorious transfiguration of your beloved Son, you confirmed the mysteries of the faith by the testimony of Moses and Elijah. In the voice that came from the bright cloud, you wonderfully foreshowed our adoption by grace. Mercifully make us co-heirs with the King in his glory, and bring us to the fullness of our inheritance in heaven. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the transfiguration of our Lord is from the second book of Moses, called Exodus, the 24th chapter. Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you, in accordance with all these words." Then Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel went up, and they saw the God of Israel. There was under his feet, as it were, a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. And he did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. They beheld God, and ate and drank. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there, that I may give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment which I have written for their instruction." So Moses rose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. And he said to the elders, "Wait here for us until we return to you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute, let him go to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord dwelt on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. And Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord says, "As for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, 'You are my son. Today I have begotten you.'
Ask for me, and I will make the nations your heritage, and the ends of the earth your possession.
You shall break them with a rod of iron, and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel.
Now therefore, O kings, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth.
Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling.
Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and he perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
The Lord says, "As for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill."
The reading from the letters is from the second letter of St. Peter, the first chapter. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased," we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 17th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make 3 tents here, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and have no fear." And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, "Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead." This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins,
and I hope for the resurrection of the dead,
and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text from the Gospel reading, Matthew chapter 17, I'll reread verses 1 and 2. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John his brother and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun. And his clothes became white as light. This is our text. What's the most glorious place that you've ever been? What's the most glorious experience you've ever had? I suppose you can define glory however you want as I ask the question. But I imagine that it's like this for you. If you could bottle up that moment, if you could bottle up that feeling, I bet you'd do it in a heartbeat, wouldn't you? If you had your wish, you probably would have stayed in that moment forever. Glimpses of eternity are like that. And you know they're all too rare. When we have a moment of glory like that, we long to have even more. And they create in us a hope for a time when the glory will have no end. For St. Peter, that moment was the Transfiguration. Jesus took them, Peter, James, and John, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. To be part of Jesus' inner circle was certainly special. But to be with him on the holy mountain was even more special. Up there, they were eyewitnesses of his majesty, and they were ear witnesses of the voice born from heaven. They saw it, and they heard it. And St. Peter makes clear that this was no myth. This was no cleverly devised tale. This was no second-hand account. He saw it, and he heard it. And for him, that was the moment of outstanding glory. Jesus was transfigured before them. He was changed, metamorphosized. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. What were Peter, James, and John seeing? They were seeing the divine power and majesty of our Lord unveiled in his human nature. It's almost as if you'd taken his humanity, the humanity of Jesus, and it had been thrust into the heat, the light, and the fire of the Godhead, and it came out glowing like the heaven of heavens. This one with whom they'd walked, with whom they'd shared meals, beside whom they'd slept, this man who is a true man is not only a man, nor is he an angel. His face is the very face of God, and his clothing has the radiance of God. There are, of course, other times during his earthly ministry when this divine power and majesty had been visible. You might remember the baptism of our Lord, in which the Spirit descended upon him and the voice from heaven spoke. Other moments that depict his divinity are times like when he changed the water into wine at the wedding of Cana, or when he healed the sick, gave sight to the blind, made the lame walk, stilled the storm, fed the thousands, and raised the dead. And especially here at the Transfiguration. What do they see? They see God incarnate in the flesh and man divine. He wasn't, of course, the only one that they saw, because Moses and Elijah were also there. They were talking with him. Moses and Elijah, the greatest of all time. By comparison, it would be like one of us getting to see George Washington or Abraham Lincoln. That would be some President's Day, wouldn't it? What would you give to have that experience? I don't mean Washington or Lincoln, but Jesus with Moses and Elijah. And yet only three of them got to be there. There were 12 apostles. 9 of them were left out of this one. And so were many other early Christians. Mary wasn't there. Martha wasn't there. Lazarus wasn't there. And neither were you or I. I've never seen Jesus transfigured like that. I've never seen anything remotely close to that. Even the most glorious experience I've had was nothing like what they had. I've never even seen Jesus in his visible body. So it's no wonder that St. Peter wanted to stay there. You know, he's never one to be shy, never one to be quiet. So in this moment, with the glory shining, he piped up and said, "Lord, it's so good for us to be here. You know, I've got a great idea. If you want, I'll make 3 tents, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. Why not just stay here in this moment? It can't get any better than this, can it? What could possibly make it more glorious? There's no reason to go back down from this high point ever. 3 tents, one for Moses and the law, one for Elijah and the prophets, and one for Jesus the Messiah." But then I wonder a little bit, is St. Peter thinking that the three of them are all alike? That Jesus is just another one like Moses and Elijah? That they are somehow equal? That the law and the prophets have a message and life independent of our Lord? I kind of think he's got it wrong, and that he still doesn't quite grasp the reality. But it's the glory that's so attractive. And I know that we're attracted to glory as well. And I bet when you think of a glorious place or experience, the last thing that comes to mind is the cross. Suffering and death seem to have nothing to do with glory. If we were to put glory on one side and suffering and death on the other, you would say that these are exact opposites. That's how we think. That's how St. Peter thought. But there is something even more glorious ahead for Jesus. Because Jesus is not setting his mind on the things of man, but on the things of God. The transfiguration, you might say, is only the trailer. It's only the preview. It's only a snippet. It's like reading a tweet about the novel Les Miserables and thinking you know it. There's a whole lot more. The transfiguration is just the tip of heaven. You know what they say about icebergs? There's 10% above the surface and 90% below. The transfiguration is like that, except it's like 10% below and 90% above. You barely seen it. Just enough to whet your appetite. Enough of a taste to make you long for more. There are glimpses of glory. And Jesus gives them to his disciples. But there are no shortcuts to glory. You can't put those glimpses in a tent and keep them forever. You can't bottle up that taste of heaven to open it up again another day. What you can do is you can speak of it, and you can write it down. And that's what Peter, James, and John would eventually do. Not right away, but eventually. Before they could tell others, they first had to listen. You know the saying, God gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth for a reason. That's not quite what Jesus said to those 3 disciples, but it was fairly close, almost a shut up and listen moment. There's St. Peter talking about putting up 3 tents, and isn't this going to be great? And Moses and Elijah, this is amazing. Maybe he's even drawing up a schematic and a plan for the tents when a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Listen to him. And it terrified the apostles. Knee-shaking, teeth-chattering terror. A terrifying glory, you could say. And they fell on their faces. So much for Peter's vain attempt to capture the glory, to hold on to it, and so much for ours as well. Those moments when we try and keep the glory forever, too often we also find ourselves falling on our faces. It slips through our hands like sand, and it comes out of our bowels like terror. Less than a week before this, St. Peter had made his wonderful confession about who Jesus is. We celebrated this confession in January. Peter said of Jesus, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." This is the basic Christian confession of the person of Jesus. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's the foundation upon which the church is built. The apostles and Nicene Creed that we say, even the catechisms and the Book of Concord that our church confesses, they are nothing more than further elaborations of this confession. St. Peter had the words right, but he didn't fully understand what it meant. Something more needed to be added. What was it? Listen to him. And what does Jesus say if we're going to listen to him? What are the words that he sets before us? Just before the transfiguration, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the 3rd day be raised. That's what was missing. That's what was missing. The necessity of his death and resurrection. And again, immediately after his transfiguration, Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and he will be raised on the 3rd day. There are no shortcuts. Jesus takes the long and weary road. His path must go from the Mount of Transfiguration down into the valley. It must go through Lent and Holy Week. And so we follow him there. That's where we go next as a church after today. Peter, James, and John will see him again in glory. We will see him in glory. But with glory even greater than the Transfiguration. What's missing from the glory of the Transfiguration? What did Peter, James, and John not see when they were there on the mountain with Jesus? What they didn't see were his glorious scars, because he doesn't have them yet. There's an order to Jesus' kingdom. The order of his kingdom is suffering before glory. His suffering to win your glory. His suffering to redeem your suffering. Suffering is hard. That doesn't make it bad. If you're going through suffering now, remember that. It is hard, but that doesn't mean that it's bad. And not everything that glitters, not everything that feels good, not everything that is easy is glorious. Too often we want the shortcuts. Too often we want the flash now with something that will fade so quickly. There's no glory. There's no final, ultimate, eternal glory without the scars of Jesus. Without those wounds where the nails ripped into his flesh and where the spear tore at his side and where the thorns drilled down into his skull. Those glorious scars. No one gets through life without scars. You might remember some of your own. I can still remember the scar on my stomach from a bike accident when I was probably 9 years old, and the one on my thumb from when I was trying to slice open a golf ball and consequently passed out. Or the scar where my eyebrow was split from a basketball collision. You might remember yours. At the center of Jesus' glory are his scars. His scars gained by his loving service to you. Scarred hands, scarred feet, scarred head, scarred side. That's what Jesus shows his disciples in his resurrected glory. Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration, it's almost as if Jesus says, "You want to see something better than this?" And then he shows up alive again after death. He says, "Touch me and see." And that's what the saints around the throne of heaven see as they worship the Lamb in glory. A Lamb who was slain, with the scars of being a sacrifice, slain, but standing, alive again. Jesus at his resurrection and in his second coming will have that glory. Not just the glory that he has in himself, but the glory that he won for you on the cross. So what does this mean for us now as we long for glory? The same thing it meant for those disciples. Not yet an end to your suffering. Not yet visible victory over sin. Not yet the resurrection of the dead. But soon. And it includes the same invitation that they received on the mountain. Listen to him. Listen to him proclaim his death as your victory. Listen to him give you his body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. Listen to him apply the cross to you in baptism and absolution. Listen to him. That's what the Father said about his beloved Son and about all who stand in the stead and by the command of his Son to forgive your sins and to preach you the word. You know, the chief way we worship God isn't by building tents, and it isn't by chasing glory. The chief way we worship our God is by listening to the Son and receiving the forgiveness of sins. St. Peter was there on the holy mountain, and yet he writes later, "We have something more sure, more sure the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Even if the place that you're in right now seems so void of glory, even if the moment you're in is a moment that feels like overwhelming darkness with the weight of sin, death, and the devil heavy on you, still we have a shining lamp. God has bottled up the glory of the transfiguration and of the cross and of the resurrection for you. Where? In God's own word. His word reveals the glorious face of Jesus. His word points to the glory that is yet to come. And the truth for you, dear friends, is this. The truth is that you can't stay here. You can't stay in this fallen world and this inglorious place. You can't stay where sin weighs you down and death looms and the devil prowls. That's what God says. The tent you're living in now, the tent in which you suffer and struggle, this tent isn't eternal. It won't last. All of this is temporary, and that includes your scars, but not his. His glory is and will be forever. And you do more than get a glimpse of that glory today. Today you get a deposit, you get a down payment, you get a true foretaste. In the glorious name placed on you, the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit with which we began today's service, in the glorious absolution that washed away your sins in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the glorious body and blood of scarred Jesus, Son of the living God, Savior of the world, here we see the glory. And everything else pales in comparison. Even the glories of this world, even the things that shine and glitter, are like darkness compared to him. So walk by the light of the word until the last day. Until the day when we will see the even brighter light of Christ returning in glory, and we will worship those beloved scars. Listen to him, dear Christian. Until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart, rise and have no fear. In Jesus' name. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For holy fear, as we hear the very words of Christ, who is both true God and true man,
that we would see his salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all Christians, that they may faithfully confess their Lord's name and receive his word and blessed sacraments, and for our Lutheran Church, especially our leaders, that they may have integrity and good character in their own lives, and wisdom and discernment for the good of the Church, let us pray to the Lord. For families, that parents would teach the faith to their children, and that the forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in all households, and for all expectant mothers, especially for Jamie, Catherine, Emma, Jordan, that they and their babies would be kept safe and healthy throughout their pregnancies, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who make, administer, and judge our laws, that rightly fearing God, they would establish equity in this land, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our sister Sue, that her time with family and friends would be a blessing, encouragement, and comfort to her, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those in need of Christ's healing touch, especially Evelyn, Kurt, Mary Lou and Stan, Hattie, Ted and Cindy, Paul, Mark, John, Bob, Brady, Heather and Mike, Jim, Yorma and Joanne, Karen, Nicole, Olivia, Rick and Teresa, and Tony and Libby, that they would receive his comfort in the midst of their fears and wholeness of body and soul. And with thanksgiving for the mercy shown to Kate, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who mourn, especially Gino mourning his uncle Lee, Valerie and Eric mourning her brother Brent, and Rosemarie and her friend Carol mourning Carol's husband George, that holding fast Christ's promises, they would be comforted. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who drink from the cup of the new covenant that Christ's blood shed for us would make us worthy to feast with saints and angels in heaven, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For faith to reverently receive the word of Christ, that we, who have heard his voice, would live our lives gladly according to his way, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember on this day the glorious manifestation of your Son's divinity on the Mount of Transfiguration. Teach us to listen to Jesus and ever fix our eyes on him and his innocent suffering and death for our forgiveness. By your grace and mercy, strengthen us to remain faithful in all circumstances of trial, temptation, and persecution. Preserve us to the end, that we may die a blessed death, believing in your beloved Son, with whom you are well pleased. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is good and right that we do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who at his transfiguration revealed his glory to his disciples, that they might be strengthened to proclaim his cross and resurrection, and with all the faithful look forward to the glory of life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Our psalm today is Psalm 99, a psalm of instruction, starting at the first verse. "Exalt the Lord our God, and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy. The Lord reigns, and let the peoples tremble. He sits a throne upon the cherubim, let the earth quake. The Lord is great in Zion. He is exalted over all peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name. Holy is he. The king in his might loves justice. You have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob.
Heart in peace.
Exalt the Lord our God. Worship at his footstool. Holy is he. Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel also was among those who called upon his name. They called to the Lord, and he answered them. In the pillar of the cloud he spoke to them, and they kept his testimonies and the statute that he gave them. Our God, our Lord, answered them. You were a forgiving God to them and an avenger to all their wrongdoings. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy.
Thank you.
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting, with heart in peace.
Fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Blessed be the Lord.
Amen.
bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.